We want to reflect on the church in Acts. And in Acts, the church of Acts, we see a revolution almost that takes place. In fact, things start happening and moving so fast that some outsiders, it's recorded in the book of Acts, looked at it and said, these are the guys that are turning the whole world upside down. There is this revolution of change, and great things were happening. The Lord was pouring out His Spirit. People were being healed. People were being delivered. People were being transformed as far as the type of people that they were, and thousands upon thousands of people were coming into the kingdom, and fear was going, and selfishness was going, and all kinds of marvelous things were taking place. And these are things that I think that we probably need today. Do you not think so? That we live in a world and in a environment today that we need what was happening in the book of Acts. And what was it that was consistently taking place in the book of Acts that was leading to this turning the world upside down? It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The book begins, Acts begins with them praying for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and from there on out, they began to change the world. And if you read the book of Acts, Luke is consistently saying, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, this was the constant interaction that was happening with the believers in the time of the first century churches. They were constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what resulted in all of that stuff. And don't you want that? And so what to get through there, one of the things we need is to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But what gets in the way of that is sometimes we don't really understand it, what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, Paul comes across some believers and he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. There was a lack of understanding, and the result was they didn't have that experience. And so many times, because we don't understand the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we don't encounter or experience that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we want to understand, what is this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And one of the misunderstandings that we sometimes have is we think that baptism in the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience. That, well, when I got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or when I was at some youth camp or some retreat, or when I came forward and people prayed over me, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was it. You know, now I'm done. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's actually not true. It's not a one-time experience. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is meant to be an ongoing experience, that I am to over and over again experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul, in Acts 13:9, it says that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Barnabas, in Acts 11:22-26, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, later, after those two experiences, in Acts 13, verse 52, it says both men, Paul and Barnabas, were again filled with the Holy Spirit. They had already had that experience once, and yet here they are experiencing again the baptism in, or the being filled with, the Holy Spirit. Paul in Ephesians 5:18 compares being filled with the Holy Spirit with drunkenness. Now, not that being filled with the Holy Spirit is drunkenness, but if you are a drunk, what do you do with alcohol? And how much of it do you drink? A lot of it. If you are an alcoholic and you're drunk, you've consumed a lot of alcohol. And the reason why he's drawing that comparison is not because he's encouraging drinking alcohol, but because he's saying this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to have this over and over and over and over again. If you were baptized, if you got saved, you still need a baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, you still need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Unless you are on that level where you lack no fear, you have no fear, you are completely bold, completely high on your faith, and you are exhibiting the character of the Holy Spirit, and you have that intensity level all the time, then you need a filling of the Holy Spirit still. Even if you experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit last week, you still need an infilling of the Holy Spirit again. How many of you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, do you say, well, no, I'm good. I've already had that before, Lord. Thank you very much. I'm good. You don't do that. When he wants to come upon you, you want to receive that if your heart is right. And we need this over and over again. And so sometimes when we get that misunderstanding that's a one-time thing, then we don't keep seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need to keep seeking it day in and day out. Lord, fill me. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me with your character. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your goodness. And don't you feel like you need that now? Even today, fill me again to overflowing. It is not a one-time experience. Another misunderstanding about the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that it comes with salvation. That because I am saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And while that is true, it is demonstrated that it also happens separate from being saved. Acts chapter 1, the believers were praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I say that again, the believers, the apostles, those who believed in the Lord, were following the Lord and praying, had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they already had salvation, but it wasn't until Acts 2 that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17, the disciples came across the Samaritan believers. Again, they were believers. And yet when they came in, they taught them and they prayed that they would receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. They were already saved, and yet here again, they are being baptized after salvation by the Holy Spirit. I had mentioned Acts 19, same thing. Paul comes across some believers and he says to them, they're believers in the way, and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they had not. So he prays for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Salvation came, but they had not yet received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, we mentioned Ephesians 5:18, that Paul instructs them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the book of Ephesians, is it written to unbelievers? It's written to believers. So Paul is writing to believers who have salvation, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from salvation. Now, here's where we want to make sure we don't split hairs theologically. Okay, it really doesn't matter. Just like last week, the idea of once saved, always saved, it doesn't matter if you were saved once and stayed that way. It doesn't matter if you got saved when you were 8 or it wasn't genuine until you were 32. As long as you're saved right now, that's all that matters, right? I want to know, am I saved? Am I good? Am I going to heaven? That's what I want to know. I don't need to know when it happened as long as it's happening now. I mean, when you get to the judgment, God says you can come in. Are you going to step back and go, but I need to know, though, was it when I was 8 or was it when I was 32? Not sure if I want to go in yet. You're not going to split hairs about that. Same with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If people say that it happens immediately upon salvation, that's fine. As long as you know that it's not a one-time experience. I still need to be filled again and again and again and again. So if it happens at salvation every time, not really as relevant as I need to be filled again today. And I need to be filled to overflowing. And so again, if you think that you've arrived, and we were talking about this in a small group I was a part of yesterday, a lot of people fail to grow and fail to experience God because they think they've arrived somehow spiritually. You know, I know enough that I don't need to learn anymore. You know, the Lord has moved through me enough that I don't need him to move through me anymore. And if you ever get in that posture, you're going to start declining. You should always be in the state of, no, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I have not seen any one of you demonstrate the level of the Apostle Paul and the apostles and Jesus Christ himself to say that you've received enough. Okay, I've not seen you guys go up to Coons and lay hands on people and see people get up and rise and walk and go into funeral homes, lay hands on people and see them come to life. Not that I'm telling you to go into funeral homes and do that. But I've not seen you do that. I've seen many of us struggle with fear and anxiety and worry and depression and all those things. And not that means that there's something wrong per se, but there must be more then. I have not seen any of you bring in here 200 people with you to introduce to Jesus Christ. Not seen that. Some of you, you've come close. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But I've not seen that. And again, that's not an indictment against any of us, because not that I've been doing that either. But that means we need more. None of us have arrived. And so every day we should be getting on our knees and saying, Lord, I need more of the Holy Spirit, more of it. There are times that you have emotional indications that you should say, I need more. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. So when you fear, you need to get on your knees and say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. When you feel anger and rage inside of you, ever feel anger and rage inside of you? I need more of the Holy Spirit. When you feel confused and you don't know what to do, anybody ever feel confused and not know what to do? I need more of the Holy Spirit. And again, if I take the view that it's a one and done thing, it happens at salvation and I'm saved so I'm good, you're missing out on a great outpouring and power and victory and an ability to make an impact on this world and become those people that Acts described as those who are turning the world upside down. The revolution is waiting for you. The transformation of this neighborhood, of this church, of our country is waiting for the believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing, and walk and move in that. But our misunderstanding will get the better of us and will prevent us from going in. You see, some of us think that if I demonstrate the demonstrations that come along with being filled with the Holy Spirit, then that means I'm spiritually mature. Or that's an indication that I'm saved. And while it could be an indication of things, understand that it is not necessarily equivalent to maturity and salvation. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit does not necessarily correlate to being mature in your faith and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I can't tell you how many carnal Christians I've seen spoken tongues and prophesy. I've seen carnal Christians lay their hands on people and see them get healed. But they weren't mature believers. They just let the power work through them. And there is actually demonstrations of that in Scripture. You have Matthew 12, where Jesus teaches about the Spirit leaving a person. And the power of the Holy Spirit worked in their life, yet if they don't do anything, then what happens to that evil spirit? He comes right back in. But the people that we want to watch is in 1 Samuel, actually in Numbers 24, Judges 14, 1 Samuel 10, 1 Samuel 19, we see Balaam, Samson, and Saul have the Holy Spirit move mightily in them when they were either idolaters or backslidden. Balaam was an idolater, and you might not see that in the text, but if you look elsewhere in Scripture, it will refer to him as an idolater, and he prophesied to the towards the Israelites. Did you know that? He was an idolater, and God worked through him to prophesy. So just because I prophesy, I can't step back and say, well, I'm right with the Lord because I prophesied. You know, well, I'm spiritually mature. I've become someone because I prophesied. It doesn't mean that. Saul, when he was backslidden, wayward, falling away from the Lord, there were a group of people that were prophesying, and he sent servants to go check up on them. And when they got to those prophets, they began to prophesy. And he would send another, and that servant would begin to prophesy. So finally, Saul went himself, and you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he prophesied. But he was backslidden. He was wayward. And so just because the Holy Spirit works through me to prophesy does not mean I'm saved. Does not mean that I'm mature. It's just a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Samson was messed up. He was up and down and all over the place. He was a womanizer and he was arrogant and he was just messed up. But the Holy Spirit would come upon him in such great power that as one man he could conquer hundreds of other men at one time. The power of the Holy Spirit working through him. But you cannot count that because you see a demonstration of the Spirit in your life, that means you're saved. That means that you are mature. It just means that you let the power go through you. And so I have to go back to last week, what we talked about as far as what it truly means to be a believer, a follower of Jesus, to be saved. That's the definition of salvation. Not healing people, not prophesying, not speaking in tongues. We need those things, and those things should happen, but they're not an indication of my spiritual condition. In fact, that passage in Matthew 7, when Jesus described the judgment and there were people that were not going to go in, what were the things that they were laying claim to? Well, I was doing this and that. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles in your name? So the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily equivalent to maturity. 1 Samuel 11:6, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come upon a person and provoke him to anger. The Spirit of God came upon Saul and he became very angry with David. So just because the Spirit's working in your life doesn't mean it's because your heart is right. Hebrews 10:29, it says that God is angry when he says that we have insulted the Spirit of grace when we receive his power, but we don't walk faithfully with him. And so don't be so focused on the gifts themselves, but on the Spirit of the Lord rather than the demonstrations. The demonstrations will come. They will come if I receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. What is it that I don't understand about being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Again, some people think it's so that I can receive power. And it does say that in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some of us think it's so that I can lay hands on people and for them to be healed, so that I can be bold. And all of those things do take place. But that's not the reason for baptism of the Holy Spirit. The reason is it's meant to be a life-changing relationship. Jesus in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist, actually, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, John chapter 1, John declared that Jesus would bring about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then it says in John 14:6 that it is the Father that will bring about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26 and Acts 5:32, it's both God or Jesus that's bringing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have all three persons of the Trinity involved. The Father sends it, the Son sends it, and it's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a part of the relationship of the Trinity, this experience with this baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a part of our parent-child relationship with our Father. Luke 11, Jesus says that how much more will your Father give to you of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He wants to give it to his children, not the people. You remember Simon who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit? He was about power. He was about himself. He was about being able to do things. But that's not what the Lord wants to give the Holy Spirit for in a favorable sense. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit so that you are more intimate and closer with your Father. In 1 John chapter 1, we read in those first few verses that this is the call of the Holy Spirit, that we would have intimate fellowship, us with the Father and us with each other, and the working of the Holy Spirit is what brings that depth. And if you are displaying power, good for you. But if you're not intimate with the Lord, it's all for nothing. You know, it might help the person that got healed, but it's not going to help you. Who cares if you speak in tongues? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? If I speak in the tongue of angels or of men and have not love, what use is it? If I prophesy and can declare all miracles, what use is that if I do not have love? The whole purpose of the gifts and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a depth of intimacy with each other and with the Lord. That's what he wants to give you. And so when you approach the Holy Spirit and you ask him to fill you, what is the desire of your heart? To become powerful? To be rid of your problems? To be smart? To have eyes on you? Or is it so that you will have greater and greater intimacy with your Father? What is your heart's desire? And if that is my heart's desire, how much more does the Father want to give to you of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Again, I'm not asking, are you saved? I'm not asking, have you been baptized in the Spirit? Have you spoken in tongues? Have you encountered an outpouring of the Spirit in your life? I'm asking, do you need more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life? Another misunderstanding is we don't realize all the stuff that comes with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It impacts us. It brings a great change to us. And actually, I want to add to the meant for relationship. Philippians 2:1 says that we are to have this participation in the Spirit. Hebrews 6:4, that we shared in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:2 says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? It is this connection with God that results in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You see, a rigid, orderly, things need to be a certain way type person as me can become instantly flexible because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. And the same with you. A timid, shy, fearful individual can become incredibly bold because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. The outpouring or filling of the Holy Spirit in me should change something in me. If I am being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there should be change. Romans 15:16, sanctified by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified, that is, changed, made something different by the Spirit of our God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, sanctification by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2, in the sanctification of the Spirit. And I'll give you a quiz later to make sure you remember what sanctification means. And you'll owe me $5 if you don't know the correct answer. Change, transformation. If I'm truly filled with the Holy Spirit, that should begin to happen in me. If not, I missed the point. It wasn't power displays. It wasn't tongues. It was to be transformed by an all-powerful God. That is what's to happen. Romans 8:13, if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. And then Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, we know that, is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. The whole point of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be intimate with our Father and to be changed. And some of us don't want to be changed. As much as we say we want to be changed, we want to be changed in the way of we want to be rid of our problems. We want to be changed in the way of we want to be able to be more bold and less fearful. But do you want the Lord to touch other areas in your life that you don't really want to get rid of? And how many times are we holding on to our stuff and the Holy Spirit is saying, here, I want to pour out my Spirit upon you. Well, but I'm holding on to this. I don't have room for that. But I want to pour out my Spirit upon you, but I have this in my hand. And the only way the Spirit's going to come is if you let go of your stuff and let the Holy Spirit come in. It impacts us. The Spirit empowers us. Zechariah 4:6, we are told that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In 1 Samuel 10:6, 16:13, 1 Samuel chapter 19, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Ephesians 3:16, are numerous references to when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it came upon them in great power. When the Spirit comes upon you, you are empowered. That power that is available to us gives life, Job 33, verse 4, it caused, this. Listen to this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit caused the Immaculate Conception. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. The power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8, verse 11. If you need power, it comes with the infilling of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Also in throughout the Bible, we see power displays. We mentioned Samson in Judges 14:6. The Spirit came upon him to do great things. We have numerous leaders in Judges 3 and Judges chapter 6 that began to be able to lead and carry out effective warfare because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have executing justice in Isaiah 42:1. We have casting out of demons, Matthew 12:28, and performing signs and wonders, Romans 15:19. All of this stuff is there available to us if we are filled with, baptized in the Holy Spirit, power that is beyond imagination, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He also gives creativity for things such as crafts, Exodus chapter 31, and even constructing architecture, 1 Chronicles 28. God can give you ideas that can solve problems and fix things when you have the Spirit working within you. He can reveal things to us like future events, John 16 and Acts 11. He can do that also through dreams and visions, Joel chapter 2. Your sons and daughters will see visions and dreams. The Lord also empowers us to obey, Ezekiel 36, and to do ministry, Isaiah 61. The Holy Spirit, when He's in your life, can activate so many things. And so many things that you lack in your life is because you do not have more of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You had it once back then. But when was the last time you've been filled to the full, filled to overflowing, baptized in the Holy Spirit? The most common activity when the Holy Spirit begins to work, usually it causes some kind of speaking reaction. And I have numerous references that will probably be up on the screen. If not, it'll be on your handout when you leave. But Numbers 11, 1 Samuel chapter 10, chapter 19, a number of verses there. 2 Chronicles 24, Joel chapter 2, Luke chapter 1. All of those occasions when the Holy Spirit came upon those individuals, they prophesied. They spoke something as a reaction to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the Word takes place. We see that in 1 Samuel 23, Isaiah 59 and 61, Matthew 12, Luke 4, Acts 4, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Speaking the Word began to come about. They began to preach and declare God's will and God's Word when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Micah chapter 3, verse 1, there was a declaring of sins, and Acts 1:8, there is a witnessing that takes place. Again, all verbal things. And I tell you to look up those verses when you get that handout. Consistently, when the Holy Spirit came upon individuals, they began to speak something, whether it's prophecy, whether it's speaking the Word. Also, tongues was a gift that began to surface. We see that in Acts 2, verse 4, and Acts 19, verse 6. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in tongues. Acts chapter 10, you could throw that in there as well. They began to speak in tongues. Now, again, splitting hairs. Some people might say, well, I don't need to speak when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But why not? You know, what's the problem if you begin to speak in tongues? What's wrong with that? And again, you might be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues, not splitting hairs. But doesn't Paul tell us to eagerly desire the greater gifts? To desire that God gifts us. If this gift of tongues enables me to be edified, enables me to edify the body through interpretation, why wouldn't I want that? If prophecy enables me to edify others, why would I not want that? If speaking the word boldly leads people to salvation and coming into the kingdom, why would I not want that? And I think some of us, sometimes our theology, we're so focused on figuring out splitting hairs, we just let the Holy Spirit take over. And if you were saved when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, awesome, but let Him fill you again. You know, if you got filled with the Holy Spirit and you didn't speak in tongues, wonderful. But let Him give you the gift of tongues as well. Let Him give you every single gift that He has for you. Why would you refuse a gift from the Holy Spirit? And He wants to give you so much more than what you have. So much more than what you have. The Spirit provides us, Isaiah 63 provides us with rest. Couldn't you use that sometimes? Even in the midst of craziness and chaos and a need to chase after responsibilities, He can give you rest. Ezekiel 37 and John 6, the Spirit can give us life. Isaiah 11, John 14, 1 Corinthians 2, Ephesians 1, the Spirit can give us instruction and wisdom. Have you ever had moments that you just needed to know what to do? The Spirit can give that to you. John 14, and praise the Lord, some of us say that we need this. He can give us memory. He can help us remember things when we walked out of the room and can't remember why I went into this room. The Holy Spirit can bring things back to our memory. Romans 5 and 15, the Holy Spirit can enable us to love. Even the people that we find it the hardest to love, it is the Spirit that can give us that ability to love. Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Spirit can give us freedom. So if you have addictions, if you have things that you can't shake off, the Spirit can give you the freedom from that. If you have emotional bondage, it's the Spirit that can give you freedom from that. Luke 10, Romans 14, 1 Thessalonians 1, the Spirit can give us joy. This almost euphoric joy can come from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there were a number of times in the Gospels when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was overcome with joy. Romans 15 and Galatians 5, the Spirit gives us hope. Is there not times in your life that you need to be able to have hope and believe again that something could happen in your life? 1 Corinthians 2, he can give us the ability to appreciate the things that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he can give us faith. Malachi 2, verse 15, he can provide unity. Acts 9, and I tell you, there are times that someone gets upset with me. No one in this church ever gets upset with me, but other people get upset with me. There are times that I just walk away from that and I just pray. And the next time I encounter that person, there's unity again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't deal with conflicts and talk things out, but sometimes all you got to do is pray and the Holy Spirit can come upon somebody and bring about unity. The beautiful thing is sometimes when you encounter that and you pray, the unity comes from the Holy Spirit showing you that you are the bad guy in the situation. That's what the Spirit can do. Acts 9, verse 11, the Spirit can bring comfort. Ezekiel 39, 29, the Holy Spirit can bring intimacy. Don't you want all of those things? Don't you want all of that? But I'm not going to get it if I go after those things. That's the paradoxical thing, is I'm not going to get all that stuff if I chase after the stuff. I'm going to get that stuff when I chase after the Holy Spirit. When my heart is just want more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me to overflowing. Lord, I've seen you do great things in my life just yesterday, but Lord, fill me again, and fill me again, and fill me again, and fill me again. And I'm telling you, there are great things waiting for you and a depth of intimacy with the Lord like you've never known. If you not only get baptized in the Holy Spirit once, but you get filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over and over again, there is something great in store for you. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? I was praying this morning in my office regarding this service. And there are times that I'm praying for healing. And I'm not sure if it's the Lord's will to bring healing at that time. There's times that I'm praying for provision, and I'm not sure it's the Lord's time to bring the provisions I'm asking for. There's times that I'm asking the Lord to change something, but I'm not sure if it's the Lord's time for that. But when I was praying with the Lord this morning and praying for this service and praying for this moment right now, and praying that people would be baptized with and filled with the Holy Spirit, I was remembering the words that I shared with you that Jesus said in Luke 11. How much more does my Father want to give you of the Holy Spirit, if you ask? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is not waiting for you to get something right. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not waiting for you to get rid of certain sins in your life or to get your theology right. You know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and all the demonstrations of those powers waiting for? For you to just ask. That's all it takes, is to just ask. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, and I don't want you to kneel unless you have health issues that require you to sit. That's fine. Unless you feel led to kneel, that's fine. But I want you to stand at this altar and lift your hands up to the Lord and just begin to tell Him, I want more. I want the Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me to overflowing. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and I don't want just power. I don't want just gifts. I want the Holy Spirit. And so if you want that, just come now and begin to ask Him to be filled with the Spirit. Come and stand before Him. Lift up your hands and say, send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me to overflowing. Baptize us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Joe, if you'd get ready to lead us in the stand. And what I'd like to do is, as you may have saw, I was working my way through praying and anointing some of you. Cindy's been working her way anointing. If you've not been prayed over and anointed with oil to receive the Holy Spirit, then stay here. In a moment, I'm going to informally dismiss, but stay here and stand in this place, and we'll come and find you, and we'll pray for you. However long it takes to get through those who want to receive, we'll pray with you. And if you have already been prayed for, you can stay still. You can still stand. You can kneel. You can seek more of the Lord. You don't need to leave. That's the thing about when we come to gather together as the body, there's not a set time to leave. Sometimes we just fall back into routine and we leave at a general time. But there's not always a set time to leave. And that is often what results in someone being filled with the Holy Spirit to the point of receiving the gifts of prophecy and tongues, are those people who just will not leave till they get it. And I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it didn't happen at an altar. I prayed, and I prayed for probably a good hour or more at the altar. It was a Sunday night service, and it didn't come. I felt the Lord was working, but it didn't come. So I went home, and I knelt in my bed, and I prayed till 3 in the morning. And then all of a sudden, God unleashed the gift of speaking in tongues in my life, and a transformation happened. It's hunger. It's hunger. If you want it, so much so that I don't care if everybody left. I don't care if I'm at home by myself. I don't care if nobody else wants it. I want it. That's what results in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so I love you. And the worship team will continue to lead us. If you want to stick around and worship, great. And stay as long as you like. And again, if you still haven't been prayed for or anointed and you'd like to, stay right here. We want to pray for you. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit. And we ask for more, more than what we've gotten today, Lord, we ask for more. We know there are greater things ahead. And we ask for more of that. In Jesus' name, amen.